On this Wednesday morning, it's Breakfast with Pat and Heels, and we're brought to you by Burbank Homes. They are the builders to trust. You can bank on Burbank and Hyundai. The Hyundai SUV sale event is on right now. Well, we'd love you to join us. Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line is free and available, 13 13 55, or you can text us on 0467 736 736. There's been a stack of texts today, mainly around Steve Smith and his future with the Australian Test team. Plenty questioning whether he should still be there come India, but it's, look, let's face it, it's a long way off. It's November, and give him a bit more cricket. What's he got to IPL Heels and hope you believe, and I believe, Sheffield Shield rather than white ball cricket.
And I'll look it up. We think he's going to the IPL, don't we? Well, we've got to get a handle on just who is and who opted out this year or who didn't make their reserve.
No, no, let's quickly get to Stump Hills. White Hart Lane was the former home of which English Premier League club? Jack's been in here giving you clues.
And well, there's sense he's been throwing me off or guiding me towards the right bowl. I'm not sure. Mm. But I asked him, Arsenal's ground, what's that called? And he said, can't tell you that.
No clues.
My original feeling was it was a navy and white team. Right, for what's it called? What's the name of the thing?
White Hart Lane.
And then I've been to Arsenal's former ground, and I'm thinking, oh, that's why he couldn't tell me it. But I've just remembered that's Highbury Lane.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Arsenal play Leeds in a snowy night on the way to the West Indies.
Yes, okay. This is a convoluted answer. Yes, we'd like to reach
so
a decision.
I'm going back to the one he threw me off, Tottenham. Mm-hmm. Tottenham Hotspurs. Yes, hello, Mrs. Marsh. Tottenham. The other one was Chelsea, and then in his conversation while he was in here pestering us, he said Stamford Bridge. No, that's right. It's not the lane.
Yes, they played there from 1898 to 2017. Did Ange's Tottenham Hotspurs, who remain just 2 points outside the top four and a spot in the Champions League for next year. So they trounced Aston Villa, who sit in fourth. And, of course, Tottenham have a game in hand. They've only played 27 matches as opposed to 28. So, it's all go. But, yes, you're correct. And you now lead 2-1 for the week. Hey, just talking a little bit about League Hills, as we mentioned, a few changes for the Bronx as well. Corey Jensen will start. Marty Tupou back to the bench. Adam Reynolds with the knee has been cleared. Brendan Piakura with that head knock, which forced him off very early in the Vegas match. And that was a key because it forced the shuffle, and Paddy Carrigan in particular had to change roles from his middle option. So they're both in, which is good news. And we had that from Matty Ballon. What Matty Ballon has said, and no team, particularly the high-profile teams, wants to go 0-2. So Matty's saying, you know, let's get their focus back after this Vegas distraction and everyone ready to go for the Bunnies on Thursday night at Suncorp.
Yeah, you've got to give the Roosters a credit. They took the game to us and didn't give us many opportunities with the ball when we like to get it sort of in that middle part of the field. So you've got to give them credit. We probably shot ourselves in the foot a little bit with maybe errors at bad times, a little bit of lack of control in different areas. So we've gone away this week and had a pretty good and honest review of the game, looked at where we can get better. And individually, we've tried to focus on our own role, so not worrying too much about everyone else and just making sure that if I'm a front rower, I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, and the same for every position.
Yeah, so their changes are Corey Jensen will start, as I said, Martin Tapayu back to the bench. And the good news for Reynolds with his knee and Piakura with the head knock, both named to play. South lose Jai Arrow, though.
Oh, yeah.
That with the shoulder injury.
Shoulder. Piakura's still got that knee heavily supported from that medial collateral ligament injury as well. So he's getting banged up, isn't he?
Mm.
So hopefully he gets through this first month and he can really be right. I'm looking forward to a lot of games this week because there's underachievers going up against achievers. And so are they going to bounce back or are they going to end up 2-0 losses-wise? I find it hard to tip against the Roosters this year, you know. That's a good team, eh?
Yeah, well, they're always a good team. They always trot out a good team. Last year, they just had these, you know, they had key injuries and they had some fades that were sort of almost
their halves,
inexplicable.
Trouble with their halves. So they look solid across the park and Tedesco's returning.
Yeah.
You know, so they're up against the Seagulls. I think that's a good game to look towards. Storm and the Warriors. Can the Warriors bounce back and do more than one half of play?
Well, Jerome Hughes was commented on Munster because Munster's still not back from this groin issue. And as we know, it was exacerbated by the fact that he slipped and almost did the splits in the shower. So Jerome Hughes had his take on the Munster eventual return.
Hopefully he's not having too many showers. He should be having baths or something, or someone bathe him. Get his wife to bathe him or something. But he's going well. He's going well. You know, he's doing all his rehab, and you know, he's itching. He's one of those guys that loves to be out there, and he's a competitor. So he's doing everything right to get back. And you know, obviously it'd be good to have him back. But you know, we thought Jonah done a really good job last week as well. So we won't rush Munster to come back. Obviously, it's a long year, but you know, he's itching. He's itching to get back out there already.
Yeah. So Jonah Pezzett is at 5'8". Hughes had misgivings, or you know, it wasn't completely wrapped in the fact that Roger Tuivasa-Sheck is back. He said he will pose threats.
Yeah, I played Kiwis with him. It's good to see Roger back. You know, not really happy when you play him, but it's good to have him back in the game. And you know, he's just a true professional and such a great athlete. So, you know, it's good to have him back in our game. And, you know, I know the Warriors love having him back. So he's definitely one we're going to have to keep eye out for this weekend. And hopefully we can, you know, slow his opportunities down because he's such a good player.
On the other games, of course, you know, we talk about the Bunnies. This kicks us off on Thursday night here at Suncorp. Big crowd expected, hopefully. Brian Fletcher is saying, well, he said it's going to be tough for the Bunnies with no Gyro, no Campbell Graham.
They can't win. They can't win the comp without those two.
No. They're
those two, I mean, they're Origin players.
Mm. And the other one was Joel Cain had a pretty funny line about Zach Lomax.
Yes.
You know, they're saying that he's got the dirts because he's been pushed out to the wing. But then at the weekend, he runs for 250 plus metres and has a blinder. So Joel Cain had a little bit of advice to Zach Lomax.
If you want to release, don't come out and do a career-breaking 25 carries, 265 metres, and of all 34 players, you've had over 100 post-contact metres. That is not how you get a release, Zach Lomax.
You've got to be wanted by someone, though.
As you mentioned, with all these changes and injuries, etc., not happening at the Cowboys. They've came out and you know, put 7 tries on the hapless Dolphins. So they get to name an unchanged side for the Knights on Saturday afternoon, and Todd Payton just can't wait to get that home crowd back in Townsville.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. We've only got 2 games out of our first 7 at home. So any time we play at home is great. I know everyone's really excited. I'm looking forward to a big crowd, real big hostile crowd, and spur the boys on.
Don't encourage them. But, yeah, that call, the Broncos Rabbitohs on SEN. So just, you know, if that's your preference to listen to the footy, or if you're in the car, get it onto the SEN.
Interesting to see what Payton had the takeaways from round one. As I said, they ran in 7 tries, one of them a very lucky penalty try, but they were very, very convincing, and they just completely dominated from front to back over the Dolphins.
I like the scoreline. Look, I think we ran hard over the ad line, really challenged their ruck, and we looked fast, powerful and skillful, you know, which is a great trait for a team to have. Moving forward, I'd like to do more of the same in terms of, you know, really getting over the ad line and taking the ball into the line at speed.
They're great raps, really good raps. And Tom Dearden's really enthusiastic and positive and glowing in his praise for the team he's now co-captain of. So that's great, an unchanged lineup. What about the West Tigers? What are they going to produce? I think they might be all right. And I don't know why I think that. You know, I think they've got some size about them. They've given the 5'8 job to Galvin, the schoolboy superstar. Yeah. He's not little. So he, and he's been solid.
Well, they thought he was going, he was too little. I mean, he's only 18-year-old. He's pushed Aiden Caesar back to the bench.
Yeah.
So he's the 2023 Australian schoolboys captain, Hills, and he was in the Eels system for some time,
mm-hmm.
but they let him go because they thought he was too small. Ah, I'm like thinking of Alf there, you know, in days
JT.
Gone by. Yeah. But he's had a growth spurt. I mean, he ain't small there. He's 193 centimetres and 91 kilos.
Yeah.
That's pretty solid for a 5'8". So, yeah, Benji has left his faith in him. They say there's rhyme to the reason with Caesar, who hasn't played. You know, he went to the UK and they thought his NRL career was over. He's 32 now. But they say putting him on the bench, he'll be able to fill in a couple of roles. If there is any dramas in the halves, he can go in there and he can give Coruscant a break as well. So, you know, but yeah, look, they play the Raiders in Canberra Saturday. So, yeah. You know, Todd was talking about a hostile environment in Townsville. It'll be pretty hostile as well as Benji gets his debut. But
just
yeah.
See if the Raiders can maintain their grit and keep their form going from round one, or is it going to be too much? And the freshness of the West Tigers comes in and Benji enjoys it.
Yeah. One from Oscar in the Valley, which is a salient point. I'd like to know what Xavier Willison has done to end up on Kev's something list. He was all the rage over the pre-season and turned in a starring performance in the Indigenous All-Stars game, which he did, Oscar, I agree. I mean, he was great in that All-Stars game.
He was Burley Bears.
Yeah, that's right. You watched him at the weekend.
Yes, he's a lot of hair. He's got a massive ponytail.
That's beautiful critique of the game. Thank
yes. I think he was a part of their early dominance and then North Devils overpowered them.
Mm.
So I'm not exactly sure what he wasn't doing and why he's probably staying there again this week.
Yeah, well, I mean, there'll be a bit of pressure on this Broncos forward pack.
There's good depth. The depth is building, isn't there? There's players we're saying, where are they? Whereas 2 years ago, we weren't saying that. It was oh, the depth's thin. We can't afford another team in this comp, et cetera, et cetera. The player pool's too light. Well, I think the player pool's growing quite well.
Okay, and as we said at the Dolphins, a few changes there for the super coach. So,
well, the Titans got a bye, haven't they? So the four major disappointments for me: Titans, Dolphins, Warriors, Knights, all are well coached.
Yeah.
So I'm expecting them to all bounce. Not the Titans; they get their 2 points from the bye, but they should bounce. And so whoever's up against them, they'll be looking out closely.
Yeah, well, apart from the injuries, the changes at the Dolphins are in the back line. So Katoa comes in for Sean O'Sullivan, and he goes to the reserves. And then, you know, so back we go, supporting the young man. And, you know, Wayne said that, look, he'd had a long, hard season, and he's only a baby in NRL terms. But Jake Averillo, who, again, you watched at the weekend down at the coast, didn't you? In the
Slippery.
Well, he's in as well. So Tessie New joins Sean O'Sullivan on the outer after week one. The others have been forced by injury. So Ray Stone with the HIA and Conley Lemuelu, he's out with that fairly serious knee injury. Max Plath comes in.
Yeah.
Jared Wallace joins he was 18th man.
Andy.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of him. Mm. He adds that little bit of extra, I don't know, just get up and go.
Grunt.
When he comes on the field. Yeah. It's 7:17. We'd love you to join us. There's plenty of ways of doing it. The Suncorp Home Resilience Open Line, 13 13 55. Text line 0467 736 736. Ian Smith, renowned cricket commentator, is going to join us after 7:30, and then, of course, from 8 o'clock. I know 7:30 will be Hodgie, I should say, and then from 8 o'clock we'll have Ian Smith on the line from New Zealand to go through the Test Series, which was engrossing. And, of course, we'll get his take on all the dramas around Steve Smith as well. I'm certain he's got strong thoughts on that. But, yep, after the 7:30 news, Luke Hodge joining us. We'll be back.
Now on Breakfast with Pat and Heels. Heels gets his gloves off.
Yeah, well, I wanted to have a look at the racial protection class action by the Indigenous players against the AFL/VFL. All Indigenous players are included unless they opt out. It's Margalit lawyers, injury lawyers. There's Mrs. Michelle Margalit and Emily Sinclair specifically have Phil Cracker leading an action being brought by several other players against the AFL/VFL. They're targeting financial compensation. They're making no bones about that. And mediation to make things better moving forwards. It's from 1975 to 2022. The legislation changed in Australia in 1975, which brought money and better workplace conditions for Indigenous people, full stop. Before then, many businesses didn't even have to pay Indigenous workers directly. Currently, there's several cases, some have concluded and some ongoing, of missing stolen wages by governments having to repay that because Indigenous wages could be held by the police station or could be held by the government, and there's these cases are uncovering the missing dollars. Many class actions, of course, don't make it to trial as they need to be funded. And Peter Smorgon will defend the AFL's case in football. So it's quite interesting to just see how it's going to come out. Verbal abuse, physical opponents, unfair physicality, media impacts. Then there's the umpires and the officials who at times made things unfair and difficult to get a hearing. Many big names have been singled out, which has been heavily criticised and, of course, denied by those senior players. I think the most prominent is Kevin Sheedy, a man who could not have done more for Indigenous footballers than anyone else in the game. My mind now moves forwards as we look at what happens in AFL to all employers, government departments, and the huge public service, banks, mines, and industry in general. I wonder what needs to be proven and what any loss equates to in money terms. It's a landmark case, I'm sure, if it gets to trial. Will it make it to court when nothing more can be done by many groups involved?
Luke Hodge joining us right now. Hodgie.
Good morning, fellas.
We might chat Lions first up.
Oh,
now,
I was only a warm-up game. It doesn't matter. Opening round doesn't
good
count,
hit out.
Surely.
Yeah, good hit out.
It was the last practice match before round one, so I think that's how we're thinking.
Well, you are one of the most decorated captains in AFL history. I mean, I loved what Lachie Neale had to say yesterday. He just came out and gave it. I know a few of the pundits have said it was a choke. They led by 46, and they haven't been quite as complimentary as they could have to it, but yeah. Lachie Neale's come out and says we, you know, maybe got carried away with ourselves. We were lazy at times and only got ourselves to blame.
Yeah, I think they drank their own bathwater at halftime. And look, I actually like what Lachie said. It's I would have been disappointed if they had come back and said, "Oh, look, Carlton are a really good team, and they just outplayed us in the second half." Because then you would have sat back and thought, "Hang on." He is covering over the flaws that they did in the third quarter. The best part about a skipper who's come out and been honest is, no, we did selfish things. The things we did in the first quarter, we didn't do in the third quarter. The simple handballs, the team first things, the shepherd, the blocks, the run to support each other, that went away in the third quarter. They didn't man up. So all the stuff that we were sitting back in the third quarter as spectators, as commentators watching, what Lachie said was spot on.
Yeah.
But I sit back and go, well, hang on, they've identified it. They're not making excuses for himself. So I'm sitting back going, do you want to have this early in the season? So now Chris Fagan and the coaches are sitting back going, this is perfect. He can raise this going, how embarrassed were you guys after round one? Right. You were selfish. This could be a motivator for him for the next 5-10 weeks. And this is why people always sort of say it's good to have a loss late in the season going into finals so then you can sort of touch on all those little flaws. It's similar at the start of the season. Would they have wanted to win that game? 100%. Beating a top four team or Carlton was supposed to be up high in the ladder at the end of the year. It's important to win these games, but yeah. Also to have this loss. If they had won by 3 points, they probably could have just covered over it. So what he said was good. It's put everyone on notice, and now everyone's going to be watching him this weekend going, oh, are they doing selfish things?
So yes.
It's keeping them all accountable, which yeah. I'm actually all for. I actually liked it. It's a good response from a captain.
And the vision that they put with Lockie's words seemed to all be in their back 50, where the Carlton talls were starting to do some damage. You know, there were two of them in there and the Lions were nowhere. But I reckon it's probably further down the field. The midfield is probably where he's critical most.
I like
most
your mindset
of.
Here. Is, yeah, poor defenders. We always get done with... I think that's the thing is if... What you see is them kicking a goal.
Yes.
So you're spot on. So everyone looks at the defensive 50 and go, well, hang on, If he had done that, if they had done, they would have stopped that goal. But a lot of it is done up the other end. If the forwards had defended, had slowed up, if the midfields had a manned up, yes, the defenders are accountable as well. But what Lockie is saying, it's a whole team mindset. It's not the defenders, it's not the mids, it's not just the forwards. It's the whole team as a collective that need to pull their finger out and start thinking as a team, not as individuals. And these 40-point leads, that like that first quarter, that was as good a quarter of football that I've seen from any team over the last few years. And they walk away with a loss. So, look, it's good. They're on notice internally from Lockie putting on them, but at least everyone now, they're held accountable externally. We're going to be watching the Fremantle game this Sunday going, is Lockie going to be doing this, or is Harris going to be doing that, or is Zorko going to be...
Look at the pressure.
So I would expect a pretty fired up Lions team on Sunday after the feedback and what they've put out to the media.
Yeah, okay. Well, now here's one from Greg, who we well know, Hills. Can the Lions win a grand final without a genuine key ruckman?
They've got a genuine key ruckman.
Yeah, but if we lose him. Is that what he means? Can we win?
I think if you look through, and this is, I hate saying this because it makes the ruckman feel not as important as others, but if you go through the history of the last 15 years, majority of the teams have not had a million-dollar player. Yes, Max Gawn was... if you go through, even look at Collingwood when they won it, they got rid of Brody Grundy, who's a million-dollar player.
Yeah.
If you look through all the premierships, I know at Hawthorn, our ruckman wasn't a million-dollar player. I know that Geelong, they had – Ottens was okay throughout there. But ruckmen are important, but it's about creating a contest. It's about the balance of a team. So I think Oscar McInerney, effort, selfless. You talk about selfless players. He's as selfless as what anyone is on the footy field. I think their ruck stocks are fairly good. And Fort is a battler as well, who come in and he will put in a contest. He'll play forward. He'll do everything you want. So I actually think the Lions are in a good area with both Oscar and Forty as their ruck combination.
And we started to use Joe back in some stoppages, didn't we, last year?
Yeah, I think Joe's a pinch hit ruckman. Just the fact that it gives Oscar a bit of a break, but it also gets Joe into the game. Sometimes if you're full forward, you can play three quarters and not get a touch. So getting Joe in there, he sort of plays as a midfielder, because he'll try and find the ball, he'll spread out to the wings, he'll get those uncontested possessions. Mm. So I don't think you need a million-dollar ruckman to be a premiership threat.
Okay.
As we've seen, they made it to a grand final with what they've got at the moment.
Now, you probably wouldn't have been across this, but Heels bounced in here, even though his Burley Bears got beaten at the weekend. Very, very excited from his trip to the coast. He got to meet last Friday night dimmer at the Burley Heads Hotel.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Coming out of the loo. And a mate I was with was talking with him,
yep.
Assumed that I'd met him, you know, and knew him quite well, but we hadn't met before, and, gee, he loves it. He's loving it on the Gold Coast.
He's a bit of a fanboy here, isn't he?
Yeah,
that's right. Look at the smile on his face.
And then I think he had a beer. He didn't stay very long in the bar. He was just having a Friday night beer, and walked out. And, see ya, Demo, see ya.
did he leave because you would not leave him alone? He's sitting there going, is this bloke, he just would not leave him alone. He's like, hang on to his coat. A
little bit of that. We left him. We sat back down in our seats.
Dimmers, he's a good fella. Apparently loving up on the coast. And tell you what we saw from Gold Coast in the first half,
you understand
why he would be loving it up here.
So, yeah, what was your take on it? I know they were another team that allowed the Tigers to get back into it.
Because you can support them this year.
Yeah.
Instead of bag them.
I don't bag them. Look at him. He's after.
He had one day when he bagged them a little bit.
Yeah.
And the entire Gold Coast population turned on him.
No. I think that was a sellout. What was it? It was 22,000 people up there. It was 98% capacity. So, yes, there's a lot of Richmond supporters there. But I think as a Gold Coast supporter or people up there who went to watch supporting him, that's what they want to see. They want to see effort. They want to see energy. They want to Ben King looked like a Coleman medalist in that first half, the way they moved the ball to him. And I think that's all they want. Gold Coast are thriving. And that they just want to see a team that's going to give passion, energy for a whole game. And, yes, they dropped away in the third quarter. But that first half, it showed the excitement of what they could produce. Does it say a little bit about Richmond? I think Richmond with a new coach got a bit shell-shocked as well. But look, I think all the Gold Coast supporters that went along and watched, I reckon they would have got a few extra supporters from the kids.
Yeah, and it's a great game to follow it straight up.
He's still
up,
smiling. Look at him.
Yeah.
Are you now a Gold Coast supporter?
And well,
just because you met Dimmer once?
No, and I know Doss. I know Braden Fiorini.
Do you want me to go? Do you want me to get Dimmer to sign something to you? Just so
no,
you can put
I've
up
got
on
Braden asking for that. Hey, we're Burnley boys, you know.
You're blushing.
And, it's a good game to follow up with, hey? Adelaide Crows at home now.
I can't take you serious anymore. No, it is. And this is going to be the test for Gold Coast is you look back and go, yes, they got Richmond, new coach. Adelaide are a solid team. Like they've been pushing for the last 3 or 4 years. I've got them on the verge of making the eight. So this is going to be the test for them is can they push away? And what good teams do, if you have a good win like what they did on the weekend, can they push that to the side? And can they focus on an away Adelaide game? Because it's going to be Adelaide charging, ready to start their season in the right way.
All right, we've got Luke Hodge with us, and he's here as our captive until the top of the clock. 13:13:55 is that Suncorp Home Resilience open line. Well, if you've got a question for Luke, you can text us on 0467 736 736. Just a reminder, SENQ 693 AM, it's your home of the Brisbane Lions and the Gold Coast Suns in 2024. Here the Suns take on the Crows live from 6:30 Saturday. Then on Sunday, it's the Brisbane Lions travelling west to face the Fremantle Dockers live from 5:30 PM. Listen live here on SENQ 693 AM and, of course, the SEN app. Hey, so much talk in all the codes, particularly on the collision sports about concussions, etc. Yep. The GM of football, Laura Kane, has come out and just underlined it again.
We need to protect the head. Players need to protect the head. They need to protect their own head.
They need to take responsibility.
They need to protect their own head and they need to protect opposition's head. And that's something that we know is trained at Clubland.
Well, it's smart. After the Angus Brayshaw retirement, we understand. We spoke about it last week about how serious concussion is and the aftermath and the after effects for when you retire for the next 30, 40, 50 years. But she's right. The players go in there. I reckon the way they change the rules 4 or 5 years ago, if you're putting your head over the ball, that's free kick. Players started to use that as a little bit of the ducking rule and getting the arms sliding up over the shoulder. The AFL also have to crack down with umpires, saying if a player's trying to initiate the contact high, don't pay the free kick because the player will get hurt. If a player knows that they're going to get a free kick, they're going to continue to do it. But it is right. You need to, at training, protect yourself. The way you pick up the ball, the way you turn your body, the way you sort of put your shoulder up to protect your neck and your head, that's all got to be taught at club level. That's all got to be taught at junior football, kids going through, because we understand how serious concussion is.
Yeah, so away from AFL and AFLW now, the concussion for virtually every other level of Australian rules footy is now 21 days, isn't it?
Yeah, I think people sort of sat back and said, well, why is it 21 and the AFL is only 12? Is their brain different to everyone else playing? But I think where it goes back to the medical industry and the AFL is minimum 12. So what they're saying is the AFL have the top doctors around seeing them day to day. It could push out to be 21. It could push out to be 30 on the severity and how the effects. And I know Jordan Lewis, look up Jordan Lewis's concussion against Western Bulldog back in 2000 and I'm saying 7, 8, 9, somewhere around then. He went back with a flight. He played the next week. He actually came on. Jordan Lewis came on in the last quarter after being knocked out. You can see how bad the hit was. He said for the next 3 weeks, he was blurry vision trying to pick up the ball, but because of, you've got to be tough to go back on and all the stuff that the players are expected to put their bodies through, he felt he was obliged to play. So the reason why it's minimum 12 is the doctors will be there and judge whether the players are right to play, but if not, it might push you out to 21. And then what they're saying, all the lower levels, they don't have the doctors there to assess them to make sure that they're put through the right parameters to make sure they are okay to return to sport.
But there's still 3 sessions with a doctor. Right, so the doctor's got a rule that it is concussion on the spot.
Then they've got
to sort of resume contact training. They've got to see a medical person, and then they resume play. A community footballer's going to go to a doctor 3 times?
No, but that's what they're saying. So that's why they push it out to 21 days, because they're not going to have the access to a doctor like everyone else.
Are they even going to go? Or they just finish?
But that's what we're saying is that they probably won't go and see the doctor, so then they're just going to push it out to 21 days, and then at least that know by then the swelling or any issue with the brain has settled.
Much longer recovery.
Saying a medical officer's got to approve them to come back.
Yeah, but they won't do that. But that's why they're putting it on the clubs to say if you have any player with a knock, just so in case the player is lazy or can't see a doctor or can't afford a doctor, that they're pushing out to the 21.
Mm. All right, let's quickly start to go through these games for the weekend. Thursday night, you've got Carlton, who obviously had their big one-point win over the Lions up against Richmond, who were disappointing, obviously.
Well, this is a big one for Carlton. Like, they come up here and they knock off the Lions. Everyone's touted them for top four. Richmond, new coach. This should be an easy victory for Carlton. But as I found out last week, I was zipped from fourth from my tips. Carlton should do this. If Carlton are any good, they should be able to knock off Richmond on Thursday night.
Yeah. There might be Dusty Lynch and Nan Curvis coming back for Richmond too. Yeah.
Three pretty handy players
Tom Lynch,
back.
That's a long time, eh?
Yeah, Lynch, but I think, yeah, he straightens them up. He gives them a vocal point up forward. Fitness, he won't be there. But when you've got a bloke with his calibre and what he's been able to do, having him slot in at full forward, it just takes the pressure off the rest of the forwards.
We might leave the two Queensland games until after the break, but let's quickly go through these. The Pies against Sydney Swans.
If Sydney were good last week against Melbourne, if they play the same way, 65 inside forward 50, just bombing it in there, Collingwood will eat them alive with their intercept marking. So I think Collingwood at home will be too strong and they'll bounce back.
That's at the G on Friday night. That's the big game of the weekend. Essendon and Hawks.
I think Saturday Essendon will be too strong. Hawthorn have a lot of injuries through their half-back line. They're still developing. Haven't heard much about Essendon, but I think Essendon will be too strong with their developing list.
What are you hearing about the G after Tay-Tay? I mean, is it... It's had an effect on other stadiums, whether they be the Pink Concerts, etc. The G's got, what, three matches in a row?
Yeah.
Thursday night, Friday and Saturday.
Oh, I think they've been professional enough over years to be able to resurface the ground and get it back to playing, so I don't think it should be an issue. But it was 3 weeks ago, Tay-Tay.
Yep.
Good concert, that.
The Giants, who were very, very good up against North Melbourne.
Yeah. Yeah, Giants will win by a long way. Like, North Melbourne, a developing list, a few injuries. Simpkins out because of the concussion stuff. And Giants were very, very impressive against Collingwood.
Do they love Mason Cox, eh?
Yeah, he stirred up a little bit of trouble last week in the ruck. That was all fun and games.
He was only trying to get his football back, wasn't he?
Yeah, but if anyone knows Mummy would have known that he was going to do it. He would have stood in the road, and you could see the reaction from Bumford when Cox ran into him. He just smirked and walked off. He was just abused me for being a claw grip putter. Is that paint, frowned upon?
Is that the paintbrush?
Oh, when there's that many demons in my head when I'm putting, I need something that makes me just feel confident.
Have you tried cross hand?
I've tried everything.
They reckon, I've talked to a few pros, they said if they could do anything differently, if they started again, they'd do cross hand putting.
I've tried.
It makes sense.
I've tried everything. I've tried kicking. The only thing that works for me is a gimme.
Cats vs. St Kilda.
I'm probably leaning towards St Kilda. The Cats are going through that development phase, but St Kilda, they're free-flowing sling, and they start the season pretty well, so I'm going to lead towards St Kilda.
On the table, the Suns are first. They're playing the Crows.
Take a photo. Look at Heels, defensive again.
I'm going to tell Dimmer.
As exciting as what they were, Adelaide at home, they'll start the season fresh, but I'm hoping Gold Coast continue what they did on the weekend. It was great to see.
All right, I might just get tips from these next two so we can give the Lions something. Demons v Doggies.
Demons.
Port v West Coast.
Port, long way.
They're on Sunday afternoon, late Sunday afternoon, the Lions will travel to Frio.
After the comments that we heard from Lockie Neal on the weekend, I expect the Lions to be out physical. Fremantle are a team that have underperformed the last 18 months, so we don't really know what to expect from them. But listen to what we know how good the Lions can be, and with the mindset and what Lockie mentioned in the media, everyone's going to be having the team first mindset. I expect the Lions to have a good win over there.
So you reckon that the players will be listening to that?
100%. Yeah. Everyone now is, if you're putting it out there as a captain, everyone's going to be looking internally at you. So all the players will be making sure that they'll be having the right mindset on the weekend, and you will not see what we saw on the third quarter.
Would Lockie be the type to do that in the dressing rooms too at the end of that game?
He has to now. He's putting out the meat.
Yeah, that's right. Fags is going, I don't know where that third quarter came from, but Lockie's going, selfies.
Yeah. No, he put his own hand up. So it's as a group, as a collective.
Hodgie, always a delight as usual. Thank you, mate.
Thanks, Hodgie.
Going to work on my putting.